pastors over the last 2 weeks have highlighted that, but it is absolutely fantastic. I was going to say it's great to see your smiling faces, but I can't see smiling faces. But I assure you're pretty happy to be in church this morning. You know, God's word, his living word, is full of truth. And from truth comes challenge. And the passage that we are going to look at today, we're going to break down today, we're going to study today, is most certainly full of challenge for us, especially in the days that we live today. So I'm just going to get right into scripture this morning. We're going to read from the book of Galatians. We're going to read chapter 6, and we're going to read 1 through to 10. Chapter 6 of Galatians, and we're going to read from verse 1 through to verse 10. Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you may also be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test himself without comparing himself to somebody else, for each one should carry his own load. Anyone who receives instruction in the word must share all good things with his instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, because at the proper time a harvest will come. We will reap that harvest. Therefore, as we have an opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. And may God bless the public reading of his word. You know, God's will for Christians as they grow to be more like Jesus, as they follow the Spirit. A Spirit-filled life, which is so important, depends on thinking spiritually. And trying to live this Spirit-filled life and trying to live spiritually means letting things into our life that are totally in line with what God wants. It's a moving process to become more like Jesus than we were yesterday. Can we say that about ourselves this morning? We strive, we have a desire to become more like Jesus every day. Being Spirit-filled means that there is obviously an inward focus on ourselves. But also being Spirit-filled means that there is an outward focus towards others. And as we follow the Spirit, and that's imperative, it's imperative that we also get involved in other people's lives to serve one another, knowing that it is God's plan for the person that we are serving, we are ministering to also become more like Jesus. You know, life at present has been difficult over the last year. Of that, there is no doubt. Everybody has suffered at some point, and there's nothing wrong with that. And on top of all this, there is the obvious stuff which goes on now in our daily lives. Work, finance, health, worry, stress, anxiety, doubt, fear, all these things seem to be in the mix of daily life. And it's times like this where the Christian feels that they have a kind of worn out spirit. We're tired, we're exhausted, we're disillusioned, we're not really feeling it. Have you ever spoke to MD and asked how you doing? And the response you get is, I'm not really feeling it at the moment. You see, the problem with this is, when we allow these thoughts to penetrate into us, what happens is, we will eventually action them. And that's when temptation can creep in our life to do less than what we are capable of doing for God, and more importantly, do less than what we are called to do for God. A kind of lack of enthusiasm for church, for Christ kicks in, and we can kind of sum it up with being weary. Do not get weary in doing good. Christians can get weary, that's for sure, but we have to be so mindful that we do not get into the mindset of getting weary to the detriment of doing good. We have to focus in God's word when these feelings start to penetrate our lives. And God's word speaks authoritatively regarding being weary, where it says, let us not be weary. And it's kind of twofold, actually. It's not just the busyness of life, all these things that are part of life now that can make us weary, carrying many different loads, whether we're a pastor, an elder, a ministry leader, a Christian, whatever it may be, can make us weary, standing firm in God's word in the days that we live, and all that goes with that can make us weary. There is no doubt about it. The Christian today, there is more coming against the Christian and the word of God today than ever before. You see, Christians' views, opinions, standpoints, their morals are under the microscope more than ever before. And a huge question for every believer today is, are we willing to take a stand in God's truth and defend it? And the answer is yes, or it's no. And as we reflect in this passage that we read in a minute, where Paul is writing to the church, churches in Galatia, churches very similar to this church this morning, with men, women, young, old, pastors, leaders, people that you and I who have chosen to dedicate themselves to God and all that goes with that. You see, today, as Christians, we are called to live a life which is different from the world. That can be challenging, it can be difficult, especially in this culture and society that we live today. And being a Christian, and we're not going to bury our heads in the sand this morning, we're not going to run away from the fact, it can drain us. It can be emotionally draining at times because it takes our time and our energy away from family and friends, meetings to attend, church meetings to attend, things to do. Helping people can take our time and our energy. But our time should be invested in teaching, learning, praying, and encouraging. But being a Christian means that we have to forgive those who have hurt us and continue to hurt us. It means we have to show kindness. We can't lie. We can't cheat. We've got to keep control of our tongue. The Bible speaks with authority regarding that. How many sermons have we heard in taming the tongue? The damage it can do. There's a verse in Scripture that says, if we consider ourselves religious, yet do not keep a tight rein on our tongue, we deceive ourselves, and our religion is worthless. Lust and ungodly living has to be controlled according to Scripture. We have to forgive the unforgiving and love our enemies. And all this, on top of all the stuff that we have to deal with on a daily basis, work, finances, family, friendships, relationships, worry, stress, anxiety, all these things can make us weary. This Christian life can seem like a battle at times. Feel as if we're pushing water up a hill. As we travel along our Christian paths, many folks at church will at some point become casualties to the flesh, to the devil, and to the world. That's why today churches have an absolutely monumental responsibility placed on its leaders, its members, in order to strive to restore the fallen, being there for the Christian who is struggling and backslidden, by caring, by sharing, by teaching, by preaching, by encouraging, by listening, and by helping. And as we look through this passage in this morning, and the main verse this morning is, do not grow weary in doing good, which is verse 9, there's a bit to unpack before that. Because when we break down some of the other verses this morning, they are all relevant to do not get weary in doing good. And if you look at verse 1 where it says, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you should live by the Spirit, you should restore that person gently, but watch yourselves, you may also be tempted. You see, this passage that we read this morning is full of responsibility. It's full of truth, but it's full of responsibility. Firstly, we are to be sure we are walking in spirit and truth, are we? Our responsibility, first and foremost, is to ensure we have submitted to the leading and guidance of the Holy Spirit by faith and full dependence in the Lord in all our life. The reason for this is to be equipped. Equipped for what? Well, with regard to this verse, it's equipped to restore those who sin. Now, I don't know where everybody is this morning with regard to if they've accepted Christ or not, but what I would say is today is the day for salvation. Of that, there is no doubt. There's a verse in the Bible that says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Your salvation is assured. You put your trust in Jesus Christ, a God of love, peace, hope, power, and healing. How amazing is that? And I would encourage anybody to come and talk to us this morning if you're at that point. But you see, helping is a restoration process which takes patience and persistence. In this verse, which says if someone is caught in a sin, it's referring to not all sin, it's referring to the type of sin where we're trapped in, repetitive sin. That's the sin in our life which can cause absolute chaos. And we have to acknowledge that that kind of sin, when we're trapped in, is going in the opposite direction of where we need to be. You see, spirit-led folks can still sin. Of course we can. We're not saying we can't. But verse 1 reminds us that if we are working for restoration as we should be, we need to keep watch on ourselves? Do we do that? Do we keep watch on ourselves? You see, when we get to the point where we want to help to restore others as we should be, we need to watch we are not tempted with bitterness when we fail. We need to watch we are not tempted with anger when the process is slow. People are people. Sometimes it takes a while, but we have to keep going. You see, being in ministry is not just the men's, the women's, and the young adults. Spirit-led people are given a ministry of restoring, and we have, as we've read in this passage this morning, it's to every believer. It's not just the responsibility of the pastors. It's written to every believer. We are family, and we are to love others like family. Really working to restore someone who is caught in sin. That is some responsibility we have. Verse 1 is a picture of a battle between flesh and spirit. And this restoration process is to be done in other people's lives as it should be, is to be done by those who are spirit-led. You know, in this world that we live today, love is eroding. You can see that everywhere. And it's not just those who reject Christ. It's not just those who would never set foot in a church. Sadly, we can see it penetrating into certain folks within church. We have to be mindful of that. People caught up in their own spiritual importance, boastful of their own spiritual discernment, critical of the spiritual development of others. And one of the marks of a true believer, a spirit-led believer, is the one who is willing and faithful to work to restore those who are caught in sin. Does that remind you of you or me this morning? Are we spirit-led? Are we willing to help? And hear this right, guys. The main point here this morning is helping. It's not listening. It's not loosely trying to justify somebody's sin. That will never do you any good, and it will certainly do the person you're working to restore no good. We shouldn't just justify somebody's sin. Helping is working with them for restoration. Why? To bring them back to where they need to be. That is what we are called to do. That takes time. That takes energy. That takes commitment. In verse 2 and 3, Paul speaks of bearing and sharing and carrying the burdens of others. You know, burdens are things which weigh us down. It can be trials in life, adversity in life. It can be finance, relationships, health. And there's nothing wrong with these things. Sometimes we bury our head in the sand when these adversities come our way. There's nothing wrong with these things weighing heavy upon us. That happens. That can be life. But the context here is sin. This sin which we're trapped in. You know, we can say that we are the best Christian in the world. We can say we go here on a Sunday night, here on a Sunday morning. We get this through the post. We go here on a Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night. If we are not willing and faithful to carry the burdens of others, there's a problem. A huge problem. You see, we should be never too proud to admit that we are struggling. We should never be too proud to admit that things get on top of us, things get on top of me, things burden me. There is nothing wrong with that. But we should also never get to the point we are too busy to help others. Or even worse, we say we acknowledge Scripture. I get that. But you know what? Things will be in my terms, my friends, my group, the people in my family. I don't have time for anybody else. That's not what Scripture is calling us to do. You see, the body of Christ, the church, functions effectively when we all move together for the common good. And in the days that we live, I truly believe the church has to move together for the common good. We have a responsibility to humbly reach out to our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we can find this in John 13, 34, 35, where Scripture says, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know you are my disciples." How will they know? If you love one another. Can we say today that we regularly lay down our load for others? Or are we just selective? Or are we just take? You know, over the years I've heard people say, "I'm not part of a ministry." Yes, you are. You've been given the ministry of caring for others. These burdens can be spiritual, they can be physical, they can be relationships. Everybody is a burden, everybody is a struggle, everybody is a weakness. God's call is for us to be willing to help. And the question this morning is, are we truly willing to help without any condition? And here's where it gets to the nitty-gritty. As we love our neighbours as ourselves, as we are willing to carry and care for the burdens of others, what happens? We fulfill the law of Christ. Wow. We fulfill the law of Christ. That command, John 13, 34, "A new command I give you, love one another." And then as we travel through 4 and 5, Paul speaks about bearing our own burdens. Do we pay attention to that? Do we pay attention to the importance of bearing our own burdens? And also in these verses, he warns us about comparing ourselves, both our good and bad deeds, with other people. And that's something that we have to stop doing if we're doing it. You see, God has given us a life. Use it to honour and glorify him in all that we do. We are all capable of being effective witnesses. It's good to have a benchmark. It's good to have people we look up to. But we're not to compare ourselves, both good and bad. But here he also speaks of bearing our own burdens. It's so important. You know, in life, there are many burdens that we cannot share with other people. We can share everything with God. Praise God. That's amazing. We have a God that we can take everything to. But there are many burdens in life we cannot share with other people. And as discussed, we need to acknowledge and seek wisdom to deal with our own burdens. It is so important that we take responsibility for our own lives. There'll be many times where we have to pull our own weight, fulfill our own commitments, acknowledge our individual responsibility, whether we're a Christian, a leader, a pastor, a friend, whatever it may be. You see, here is a fact. On Judgment Day, one thing is for sure, we stand alone in front of God. We stand alone. No friend, no wingman, no family member. We stand alone. And on that day, will we have the righteousness of Christ? Will we have the fruits of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control. Will we have the love which the Word of God commands of us? That day is coming. That day is coming. And we have to acknowledge we will be judged for our actions and not the actions of others. And you see, these verses kind of tie into this next verse, which is verse 7. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. You see, in life, all these things that just happen in life, with the stress, anxiety, worry, all these things in family and friendships and finance and health, and the responsibility of being a Christian and the things that we have to adhere to according to Scripture, and, you know, carrying other people's burdens and keeping checking our own burdens and being there for other people. You see, when we get to this point in verse 7, we kind of have to get a grip. We shake ourselves and renew ourselves almost, because verse 7 offers a pretty big time instruction. It's a warning that we need to listen to and acknowledge. And it's so relevant in the world today. Paul is basically getting a hold of the Christian and saying, do not be deceived. That's what he's saying. Do not be deceived. You see, when we grow weary and get discouraged in our Christian lives, if we start to listen to the wrong voices, what happens is these voices penetrate into us, they start to form a negative type of vibe in us, and then we start to action them. We start to live them, we start to speak them over our own life. And then we start going down the road of this Christian life is too difficult. No one appreciates what I do. Why am I going to bother? I've not got the time to be involved like that anymore. He gets paid. She gets paid. Why should I do it? They've got the time. They get paid. Do you know what? I'm at a stage in my life now where I can be picky. I can be choosy. You know what? He preaches, she preaches, he leads, she leads, he does that, she does that. You know what? I can choose. I can be picky and choosy when I just tap in and tap out. It's time I made myself first. My needs, my wants, my desires. You see, what happens here is, if we allow these thoughts to penetrate into us negatively, we will action them, we will live them, we will speak them over our life, and we start to go down a kind of powder puff path to no man's land. And with God's truth and instruction, there is not too many grey areas. We're either in or we're out. We can't honour God by relaxing his word to suit ourselves and being part of a fast-paced, changing world that is trying everything to pull the believer off course. We have to be aware of this moving culture and society that can draw us in subtly and take us in a different direction from the Word of God. And it can have an adverse effect on our relationship with church and also with Christ. And by the way, the church, our church, needs more than ever strong, bold, Bible-based, Christ-centered men, women, boys, girls who are willing and faithful to stand in God's truth and defend it. And the question is this morning, am I willing to do that? Are you willing to do that? And we have to acknowledge we are most likely to grow weary when we are criticized, when we are rejected, when we don't see the fruits of our hard labor in pastoring and mentoring and witnessing and helping. That's when we grow weary. When our health takes over and consumes our body and mind, and we start to listen to voices that say, we are worthless. You are never worthless, regardless of the ailment that you may face, physically or mentally. God has a purpose for your life. Absolutely. You are never, ever worthless. And all this can make us vulnerable, and we have to renew ourselves from it. Discipline ourselves every day not to listen to this stuff and get involved in this stuff that pulls us away from God. You see, Scripture says, do not be deceived. In order to not be deceived, we need to be in church. We need to be in the Word. The last 7 weeks, I've heard that from the pulpit. We need to be in the Word. We need to be amongst fellow Christians and believers and godly people. You see, Paul, I don't have time this morning to get into it, but Paul speaks with authority regarding the relationships that we should be involved with. He also speaks of the ones that we shouldn't be involved with, because you can get involved in relationships which can take you completely off course and away from God's Word. But the relationships he does say we should be involved in are those with fellow believers and faithful friends. Faithful friends are those who are Christ-centered. And it's when we get involved and surrounded by church, by faithful friends, by Bible-based, Christ-centered people, that's when the renewal from this pull that's taken us away begins. When we refuse to listen to the things that pull us away from God and get deceived. And the get deceived part also travels into the next part of this verse, where Paul uses a metaphor of farming when he's talking about reaping and sowing. We all sow. We all reap. That's a fact. The big difference is what we sow makes the difference. You reap what you sow. We've heard that a million times. You reap what you sow. But one thing is for sure. If we give in to sin, we reap the consequences. That's what the Bible says. And grasping the importance of sowing and reaping, we can find early on in Proverbs 22:6 when it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, they will not depart from it. This is an example of the pattern of and the law of reaping and sowing, how important it actually is. It's so important. And when we come to Christ, perhaps later on in life, we have to acknowledge this law, and it is a law of reaping and sowing, because it is so important. The whole law is simple. There are two ways to live our life. Not four, not five, not eight, two. And they both go in completely different directions. And this law of sowing and reaping indicates the more we sow to the Spirit, the better your life will be now, and it can also have an effect in others, and the more fruit you will have for the glory of God. And the more we sow to the flesh, the more trouble we will have in this life. And we are deceiving ourselves if we think sowing to the flesh is going to have anything but bad consequences, as we are told in Scripture. You see, we need to understand what we mean by flesh and spirit. The flesh is the indwelling sin nature that we can all have. We all have it. That is the indwelling sin nature that we can all have. The flesh is the parts of us that produces the acts of the flesh that we read about in Galatians 5:19-21. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, hatred, jealousy, rage, envy, selfish ambitions, and drunkenness. The flesh produces the indwelling sin. We say sowing to the flesh. It basically means giving in to these things. And when we give in to these things, we have to face the consequences, because they take us away from where we should be going. So into the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, he lives within us after we accept Christ genuinely. How amazing is that? So it's fighting the good fight of faith between spirit and flesh. So into the Spirit is every time we follow the prompting of the Holy Spirit to worship Christ, to share the gospel, to honor God in all that we do. And Paul reminds us that the more we sow to the Spirit, it yields good fruit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control. So don't be deceived. God cannot be mocked. God knows what we are sowing. Your friends might not know what you're sowing. You know, your family might not know what you're sowing. You know, your pastors might not even know what you're sowing, but God knows what you're sowing. I remember somebody got hold of me years ago, and they said, Danny, God will never honor anything that you do publicly if you cannot prove it privately. And here's the thing about sin, and I want to be really clear on this morning. Everybody sins. You know what? I'm not saying I'm perfect. Far from it. Ask my wife. Ask my kids. Ask my friend. Ask everybody that comes into contact with me. You know, I'm saying, you know, sin. We have to grasp this regarding sin. See, this culture and society that we live today has a totally different view of sin from what the Word of God does. A totally different view. And that is increasing and intensifying every single day. The goalposts are changing with regard to that every day. And what we have to be so mindful is that we don't get into the mindset of grading sin. And many people start to do this because they're influenced by culture and society and their view of sin. I never do that sin. I never do that sin because they're too big, but I do this, I do this, I do this. And do you know what? That's not really a sin. And we have to be so careful that we don't get into this, because sin is sin. We all sin. But here's a common denominator with regard to sin. It's actually three strands that are stranded into one. One, it will always take you further than you want to go. It will always keep you longer than you're willing to stay. And it will always cost you more than you're willing to pay. That is sin. That's why submitting to God's word and applying it in our life is so important. We must keep moving. We must keep fighting. We must keep running the race to the end. Sure, we'll get weary, but we have to keep going. Do not grow weary of doing good. That's why Paul is saying to us, we cannot grow weary in doing good. We have to keep sowing to the Spirit. Keep sowing good things. Don't sow to the flesh, sow to the Spirit. Sow good things. The race is tough. The race is hard. It's thankless at times. It makes us weary. That's why we need spiritual vitality every day to move forward and doing good, sowing to the Spirit. And when we see the fruits of the Spirit in our life, the Spirit did it for us. Praise God. Verse 8, the one who sows to please the sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit will reap eternal life. We sow to the flesh. Consequences, we sow to the Spirit, that's going to produce eternal life. What does that mean? Will from the Spirit reap eternal life? But Danny, you said earlier on, if we accept Christ genuinely, we have eternal life. Yes, you do. If you accept Christ genuinely, your salvation is assured. Praise God. But verse 8 is talking about the here and the now. That's where the law of reaping and sowing operates. It operates here. It doesn't operate in heaven. You see, the results of sowing to the flesh happen here in this life. So what does it mean, reap eternal life? Paul means we are going to reap the full blessings contained in that life which is already ours in Christ. How amazing is that? We are going to reap the full blessings of the life that we already have in Christ. Everything, all the joys of eternal life. When we sow to the Spirit, we reap the full blessing. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. You see, weary, being weary. Life can be difficult, it can be challenging, of course it can. Regardless if you're a past, whoever you are, it can be challenging. And there are many adversities that weigh us down. Of course there are. And things like the daily life that we go through with all the worries and stress and work and finance and all these things, they can be difficult, they can be hard, they can be draining. But true weariness in the context of this morning is when we are doing good. Do not get weary in doing good. When do we reap? When God says we reap, we reap. So many of us give up before the harvest. We want the difficulty of bearing the burdens on our own to be no longer difficult. Take them away. Take them away now. God, can you make this easier? Now, 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 now. You see, it's easy for me to stand here and say, don't be weary. But how do you not be weary when it's draining, when it's costly and apparently fruitless at times, moving on and keeping doing good in this Christian life? That's when we have to trust the God of the harvest. When the time is right, we reap a harvest. God is not mocked. The harvest is coming. Keep going. Don't give up. Be good. Do good. Do not give up. Sowing to the Spirit, the good seed, not the bad seed. Do not sow to the flesh. Sow to the Spirit. You see, Paul is challenging us. This is what he's challenging us to do. And it's so relevant and important in the days that we live. He's saying, remain engaged in church. Remain engaged in prayer. Remain engaged in Bible study. Remain engaged in giving. Remain engaged in witnessing. Remain engaged in living a life which is different from the world. Remain engaged in sowing to the Spirit, not to the flesh. Keep going, keep going. Remain engaged in not giving up. Why? Because the harvest is coming. The harvest is coming. You know, being weary and getting pulled away from doing good happens. Getting disillusioned happens. Developing bad habits happen. Bad attitudes come. It happens. But doing what is good, doing what is right, doing what is biblical, always sowing good seed, staying constantly positive for Christ in a world that is a pool can be difficult. There is no doubt about it. But the awesome news is Christ lives within us. Christ lives within us. That's the difference. Galatians 2:20. I've been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. There will come a point Oh yes, there will absolutely come a point in our Christian service when we become weary. There will be. That's when we have to focus on Christ within us. That's when we have to learn and rely on the life of Christ within us and acknowledge the promise in Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all of you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. You see, all the burdens we may feel that make us weary, Jesus can free us from them. The rest Jesus promises in this verse, as the praise band just come back now, the rest Jesus promises us is peace. He doesn't mean the end of all activity. He doesn't mean the end of all labor. He doesn't mean the end of what, doing good and moving and pressing on. He doesn't mean that. See, a relationship with Jesus changes meaningless weariness into spiritual productivity and purpose. There is a full harvest if we are faithful. You see, in the days that we live, we have to keep moving. We have to keep sowing to the Spirit and not the flesh. We have to keep running the race. We have to keep doing good regardless if we feel weary. We have to keep pressing on. We have to keep running the race of endurance. Keep going, keep moving to the very end. And surely, surely, the goal for all of us has to be one day, and that day is coming, we hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you that we can open up your word this morning. And from that word certainly comes challenge. Lord, help each and every one of us to keep doing good, regardless of the adversity that we may face. Lord, we're asking this morning for strength, wisdom, discernment, to keep moving, to keep honoring you, and to keep glorifying you in all that we do, regardless of this world that we may live today. And Lord, help us daily to carry that cross in your almighty name. Amen. Thank you.